بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. We beseech the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to try and share with the Ummah the greatness and the sacrifices of those who were around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nay those who actually played great role in nurturing him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are to discuss today a woman who spent more time with Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than any other human being. She was such that Allah's Nabi said, if you want to marry a woman from Jannah, marry this woman. مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَتَزَوَّجَ مْرَأَةً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ If it pleases you, if it brings you joy to marry a Jannati, marry her. This was that individual. She was that individual whom Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look at her and would say, this is my mother after my mother. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see her and he would say that she is baqiyatu ahli bayti, the remainder of my family. This is in the report of Sir Alam al-Nubala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also refer to her as Ya Ummah, O my beloved mother, in the report of Isaba. So such an individual she was, whom, just to rewind a little, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never forgot the demise of his mother. Even when he made hijrah to Medina Munawwara, he looked at the dwellings of Banu Najjar after hijrah, and he said, this is where my mother stayed with me. Huna nazalat bi ummi. We stayed at this precise spot. At this place there was a house, we stayed here. وَفِي هَذِهِ الدَّارِ قَبْرُ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ And this is where my father Abdullah is buried. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went down memory lane and he said, this is where I learned to swim also. وَأَحْسَنْتُ الْعَوْمِ فِي بِئْرِ عَدِي بْنِ النَّجَّارِ This little big pond of the Banu Najjar family, Adi bin Najjar, the relatives of my mother. Because Amina had brought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, young Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to visit the grave of the father and to visit her family. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes down memory lane after the hijrah. But just to rewind, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed mother left this world at a place between Makkah and Medina, Abwa. There was a young girl who took him back to Makkah. She hands him over to Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib instructs this young girl that take care of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was this girl, this child, she was young. She took care of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She saw to him. She protected him. Ya Baraka, Ya Baraka, la taghfali an ibni fa inni wajadtuhu ma'a ghilmanin qariban min as-sudra. Oh Baraka, please let us not be negligent of our child, of my child, because he was at this place, Sudra, playing there. And the Ahlul Kitab claim that he is going to be the Nabi of this Ummat. Please see to him. Who was this Baraka? This was the individual. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his mother, she was there. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Abdul Muttalib, she was there. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost Abdul Muttalib, she remembers that incident vividly. She reports, as recorded in Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad. She says, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, أَتَذْكُرُ مَوْتَ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ Do you remember the demise of Abdul Muttalib? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَعَمْ أَنَا يَوْمَئِذٍ إِبْنُ ثَمَانِ سِنِينَ I was eight at the time. Ummu Ayman also reports this. She says, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَبْكِي خَلْفَ سَرِيرِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ I saw this child, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, cry behind as the body, the bier of Abdul Muttalib was being escorted and ushered to his last abode. Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله عنهما reports that the children of Abu Talib, because after Abdul Muttalib willed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should then be taken care of by Abu Talib. So when he moved in with Abu Talib, the woman who moved in with him, this motherly figure for him at that time, was
A woman by the name of Baraka, the same Baraka that we are discussing, Ummu Ayman, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. It wasn't only Ummu Ayman. There was another very special individual who took care of him at this leg of his blessed life. With Ummu Ayman, she was, so to say, his nanny, and she would serve him and take care of him. And he loved her very, very much. She was a servant of the family. But the woman who also went out of her way, and we will allocate time to discuss her life precisely, is none other than Fatima binti Asad, radiallahu anha. Who is Fatima binti Asad? The wife of Abu Talib. The wife of Abu Talib. And Fatima binti Asad also embraced Islam in the initial stages. But anyway, as we're discussing Baraka Ummu Ayman, this human being who spent more time with Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than any other human on the face of the earth, she discusses the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Baraka says, Baraka Ummu Ayman says, her name was Baraka. Later on she was named Ummu Ayman when she had wedded. She says, I never saw this child complain hunger. مَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ شَكَى جُوعًا قَطُّ وَلَا عَطْشًا. Never did he complain thirst of thirst. فَكَانَ يَغْدُو إِذَا أَصْبَحْ فَيَشْرَبُ مِنْ مَاءِ زَمْزَمْ شُرْبَةً. In the morning he would go and drink ma zamzam. And I would offer him and insist, have something to eat in the day. He would say, لا أريد أنا شبعان. I do not want. I'm well satiated. I am full. So Barakah speaks of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would divinely fill his stomach with the help of Allah ta'ala. It's reported that the family of Abu Talib would be hungry, but when they would partake of meals in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all would get full. But if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not there, in spite of the amount of food, it was never ever enough. This was the barakat in the home of Abu Talib because of the presence of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us that barakat. How would we bring that barakat into our life? Bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive in our life. Bring the hadith, practice the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman sahab so beautifully quotes the great scholars who say, Ahlul hadithi humu ahlun nabiyyi wa in lam yahduru nafsahu anfasahu sahibu. That those who learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the people of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were not present there with the dhat of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they are present all their life with the breaths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the beautiful statements and teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will give us that barakat. Allah will give us that barakat if we practice and inculcate and imbibe in us and impart unto humanity the beautiful teachings of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have the presence of his Mubarak Deen, the Deen that he brought, which is salvation for humanity. More of the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the home of Abu Talib would be discussed soon inshallah under the beautiful life of Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha. Anyway, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all along until he got married and through Khadija radiallahu anha, and he liberated Baraka. When he liberated Baraka, she then got married to a man by the name of Ubaid bin Khalid Khazraji. And in that, they lived together, and they were blessed with a child by the name of Ayman. And that's where she received her appellation, her patronymic, her title, Ummu Ayman. Her name was Baraka, but that's where she was referred to as Ummu Ayman. Radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited to Allah ta'ala, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was among the first to embrace Islam. Her son Ayman with her embraced Islam and made great sacrifices for the cause of Allah ta'ala and the path of Allah ta'ala. But Ubaid, the husband of Ummu Ayman, was very upset and he refused to embrace Islam, and they were then separated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion during the Meccan period, asked Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who wants to get married to a Jannati? Which Sahabi got ready? There was a famous Sahabi by the name of Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, who was the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was purchased by Hakim bin Hizam. Hakim bin Hizam, famous individual, famous Sahabi. We will discuss him inshallah. Hakim bin Hizam purchased Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, and in turn gifted him to Khadija radiallahu anha, who in turn gifted him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated him so well, loved him, liberated him. He was considered as Allah's Nabi's son. Then Quran abolished that practice in the past, and Quran mentions this individual, this Sahabi, Zayd by name. The only Sahabi precisely mentioned in Quran by name is this Sahabi, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. He gets ready. He says, O Nabi of Allah, I want this Jannati you're talking about. The Zayd was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the riwayat of Ahmad and Hakim, with sound narrators, Allah's Nabi says to Zayd, Ya Zayd, anta maulaya wa minni wa ilayya wa ahabbul qawmi ilayya. O Zayd, you are my ally. You are from me. You are with me and high and strongly connected to me. And O Zayd, I love you the most. Wa ahabbul qawmi ilayya. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Allah's Nabi loved Zayd so much. Ma ba'atha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zayd ibn Haritha fi jayshin qattu illa ammarahu alayhim. Whenever Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba out, and Zayd was also present with the Sahaba, Zayd would always be appointed as the Amir. Aisha radiallahu anha says that even if he was to live after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel he would have received a very high position. وَإِن بَقِيَ بَعْدَهُ إِسْتَخْلَفَهُ رَوْ أَحْمَدُ وَسَنَدُهُ حَسَن. Sanaba bin Akwa radiallahu anhu says, I joined in 7 expeditions with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I joined 9 times under the Imarat and the leadership of Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. And each time Allah's Nabi would appoint Zayd over us, يُؤَمِّرُهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا in Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad and Hakim. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, on one occasion Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba out, and he appointed Usama bin Zayd as Amir. Now Usama is also the son of Zayd. But khair, we will discuss Usama, because Usama radiallahu anhu came from the wedlock between Zayd and Ayman radiallahu anhuma. So like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Zayd so much, and he loved Ayman radiallahu anha so much, from that union came Usama bin Zayd. Allah's Nabi loved him so much. Aisha radiallahu anha says, one day Usama radiallahu anhu fell, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested me just to see to him, and I found it a little difficult. Allah's Nabi himself took him and patted him and cleaned him and removed his blood and showed his love towards this child. He was a young child, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him very, very much, because this was the child of Ayman radiallahu anha, whom Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved very, very much. Ayman radiallahu anha was of dark skin. Her skin was black. And Zayd radiallahu anhu's skin was white. And it was Allah's system that Usama had the skin color of his mother, and he had the features of his father. So there's an interesting report. So this, on this occasion, there was a man in Medina by the name of Mujazzar al-Mudlaji, and he was a qa'if. And qiyafa is an art in Arabia where a person could look at the feet and say who's the son of which father, and who's linked to who. So anyway, Usama and Zayd were lying down together, and he looked at the feet. One is white and the other is black. But he looked at the two and he said, this is from this one. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so happy, because there were rumors being spread that how can Usama be Zayd's son? So that discussion was taking place. And then when this Mujazzar Mudlaji commented this, because he was a professional in this field of pursuing one's lineage and from whom one comes, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so happy. So in the riwayat of Bukhari, he comes home and he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, I'm so happy that this has been, you know, cleared out and been ironed out. So I'm so happy for Ayman radiallahu anha. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would get happy with what pleased Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha. Interesting is the journey of Ayman radiallahu anha throughout the deen. She made great sacrifice during the Meccan period, and during the Medinan period as well. She stuck to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family throughout her life. She was part and parcel of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's concerns and family. To such an extent that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly said this, that she is the remainder of my family. Interesting is her journey of hijrah. It's reported that Ayman radiallahu anha, she's on her journey of hijrah, and she gets to a place called Munsarif Duna Rawha. Not far from Ruha. This is a report in Isaba and Sir Alam in Nubala. And at that point she was very thirsty. فَعَطِشَتْ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهَا مَا. She was thirsty and there was no water left. And she was actually you know, so thirsty. فَجَهَدَهَا الْعَطَشِ She was exhausted by thirst. Very, very thirsty. And Allah made it happen. فَدُلِّيَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ دَلْوٌ مِمَّا Water came down from the sky in a bucket. بِرِشَاءٍ أَبْيَضٍ And the bucket was dangling with a white rope. She took the bucket, she drank until she was satiated. Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha would say, مَا أَصَابَنِي بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ عَطَشٍ Never ever after that did I ever become thirsty. She says, I would try on occasions to become thirsty. And I would fast on the hottest of days. Because she would very often fast. فَمَا عَطِشْتُ بَعْدَ تِلْكَ الشُّرْبَةِ After that sip, never did I get thirsty. وَإِنِّي كُنْتُ لَأَصُومُ فِي الْيَوْمِ الْحَارِ فَمَا عَطِشْ Even when I would fast on the hottest of days, I would still not become thirsty. This was Allah Ta'ala's help with Ummu Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that woman who took care of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much barakat Allah gave her, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what nationality, Allahu Akbar, baraka binti Ta'laba, radiyallahu anha from Abyssinia. Look at Allah's barakat, the way it comes when we serve Allah's deen. When we serve Allah's deen, Allah will give us that barakat. And she would make great qurbani for Allah's deen. Let us study the lives or the expeditions that she would participate in. It was during the battle of Uhud. And during this expedition, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was making khidmah. And then on one occasion, during this expedition, quite a few people had left the battlefield. Abdullah bin Ubay, the munafiqeen and so forth, they left the battlefield. And Ummu Ayman was very, very upset. She would go to them and she would say, come, take this, take the mighzal, take this needle and take the cotton wool and you rather sew and give me the sword and we women will strive if you men don't want to do so. Fervor for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And during this expedition, a man by the name of Hibban bin Araqa struck her with an arrow and she fell onto the ground. And this man got so happy after that, he started laughing aloud. And this hurt Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his mother, meaning this woman who took care of him, who he respected like his mother, got hurt and she fell. And this man is laughing at her. But shukr, she wasn't badly injured, but it was hurtful for Allah's Nabi to see that this man brought somewhat disgrace to Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. Allah's Nabi called Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, Sa'ad, come, take this arrow. Take this arrow. Allah's Nabi gave him an arrow without any nasal. A special arrow Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him. A nasal is an arrowhead. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him one kind of arrow without any arrowhead. And Allah's Nabi said, you shoot him with this. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have given du'as in this arrow. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu shot. And this man was struck. And he fell. He fell so bad. فَوَقَعَ مُسْتَلْقِيًا وَبَدَتْ عَوْرَتُهُ He fell down completely flat on his nape and his feet were raised very high and his entire awra, private areas were exposed. And at this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled brimmingly and his molars were exposed. But the report actually clarifies his laughter or his joy was not because of the man's private area being exposed. It was because his mother's right was guarded and preserved, and he said, "Istaqad laha Sa'adun, ajab Allahu ta'watak, wasaddad ramyatak." O Sa'ad, you stood up for my mother, you defended her, and you fulfilled her right. May Allah answer your du'as, and may Allah make it that your target is always fulfilled. May Allah make your arrow shoot straight always, O Sa'ad, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So this happened on the occasion of Uhud. On the occasion of Khaybar, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was right in the front defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, defending the deen of Allah ta'ala, making khidmat of the needy. She and 20 other women folk from the Sahabiyat radiallahu anhun, Ummu Ayman, Ummu Umara, Nusayba binti Ka'ab, Ummu Al-Ala Al-Ansariya radiallahu anhun. These great Sahabiyat would make khidmat and serve Allah ta'ala's deen. And her son Ayman was a great warrior for Allah's deen. But on that expedition in Khaybar, he was nowhere to be seen. Ummu Ayman searches for him and she doesn't find her son. She in turn after the expedition rebukes him and reprimands him and accuses him of
of being a coward. How could you, O Ayman, when you should be defending Allah's deen, being next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he explained to his mother, "Oh my mother, it was not intentional at all. My horse completely gave up. I was coming, and this was what happened to me." So Hassan radiallahu anhu defends the son of Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha in poetry, in beautiful poetry. He says,
Ala hini an qalat li ayman ummuhu jabunta wa lam tashhad fawaris khaybara wa ayman lam yajbun walakin muhrahu adarra bihi shurbul madid al mukhammara falawla alladhi qad kana min sha'ni muhrihi laqatala fiha farisan ghayra a'suri walakinahu qad saddahu fi'lu muhrihi wama kana minhu 'indahu ghayru aysari.
Fahsan radiyallahu anhu defends Ummu Ayman radiyallahu anha's son Ayman and explains why he couldn't make it there, what happened to his horse, and he tried his best and so forth radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. But see, we learn from here how a mother is upset with her son because he was not there on an occasion of service to deen. Let us introspect, my respected listeners. My mothers, my fathers, my grandmothers, grandfathers, brothers and sisters, are we prompted for deen? When do we become upset? Is it that my child missed school that made me upset? Or is it that my child missed his salah? Is that what prompts my anger? What is it that drives us? Allah give us tawfiq. What is the sign of iman? To love for Allah and to dislike for Allah. And to become happy for Allah and to become upset for Allah. To become happy for Allah and to become upset for Allah is also part of iman. وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ And to give, when we give for Allah alone. And to withhold, when we withhold for Allah's sake. Meaning, what do we withhold? We want to give our children something, but we realize there's harm in this for my child. There's guna in this. So I withhold that. This is iman, my respected listeners. This is iman. So let us, each of us, analyze our own lives. When do we get upset with our children? Let's analyze. How did he do in school? MashaAllah. How did he do in madrasa? If we are worried and concerned about his results in school and we're not concerned about his results in madrasa, that is a lack. That means there's slackening in our iman. There's slackening in our deen. What makes Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha upset? This should prompt every one of us as parents, my respected listeners. Allah forgive us. Many a time we make sure our children go to school. If the child wants a break, we say, no, leave madrasa. Madrasa you can catch up very easily. What is important about those du'as and so forth? Na'udhu billah. Our tone, what are we teaching our children? The deen is secondary. When by Allah we are sent onto this earth for Allah's deen. So we make the priority, we teach our children that what is actually priority, we make that secondary. Allah forgive us. Many of us are slackening in this regard. Allah save us. In the expedition of Hunayn, Ayman, the son of Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, became shaheed. And this was a great sacrifice and a great difficulty for Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. She lost her son in the battle of Hunayn, which was after the incident of Fath Makkah. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum remained firm in Allah's cause, remained firm in Allah's pleasure. She hoped for Allah's reward. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled her, but she was happy with Allah ta'ala. Because Sahaba radiallahu anhum knew best that everything belongs to Allah. And every one of us have to return to Allah ta'ala. Yes, her son Ayman was close to her. But there was no one that she loved more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi held her in high esteem. Like she held the Nabi of Allah ta'ala in the highest of respects. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever, left. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always kept her position and always gave her respect. Like she always kept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the greatest of respect. And because of this closeness between them, there was this closeness where there wasn't any formality. certain things could happen between Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha that others wouldn't just be able to easily understand. Anas radiallahu anhu says, انطلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أم أيمن رضي الله عنها. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, and I explained, Allah's Nabi would very often visit Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. I continue with the report, Allah's Nabi went to her and I went along with him. And she gave him some water, some drink, فَنَاوَلَتُ إِنَاءً فِيهِ شَرَابٍ. Not water, she gave him some drink, something to drink, some sharab, some drink, some juice. And Anas radiallahu anhu says, I don't know if Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fasting or not, but he didn't want. So Ummu Ayman got very upset, and she then became slightly grumpy towards him. So we learn from here, because of her closeness, and this level of formality is removed because she took care of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would refer to her as his mother. Ummu Ayman ummi ba'da ummi, in the report of Muslim. Ummu Ayman is my mother after my mother. So she could actually have this relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was quite often between them. In Sirah Halabiyyah, Aisha radiallahu anha reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day having some water to drink, and Ummu Ayman was next to him. So she said, O Nabi of Allah, get me some water. So I said to her, are you asking Rasulullah to get for you water? So Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha says, yes, ma khadamtuhu akthar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, she's right. And he gave her water, radiallahu ta'ala anhun. So this was that close relationship, this mother and son relationship. And Allah, yes, she had the utmost respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there was this special kind of closeness that others wouldn't completely understand. One day he visits her, radiallahu anha, and she was sifting some barley and so forth, and she prepared one roti for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one loaf or one roti. So Allah's Nabi said, what are you doing? She said, something we used to eat in our lands, Abyssinia, and I wanted to prepare it for you. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, please put it back in the oven and bake it a little more for me. Ruddihi fihi thumma ajinihi, knead it a couple of more times because I like it a little bit more well done. So that was the relationship between Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha and Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something interesting happened after Khaybar, just to show this closeness and this upliftment of this formality. After the battle of Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Medina Munawwara, and the Muhajireen were always receiving khidmat from the Ansar. And the Ansar had done a great service to the Muhajireen. Those who had farms, those who had gardens, those who had trees, they would actually sacrifice and give certain amount of trees to Muhajireen, and they would allow them, give them maniha, that use it as long as you want or as long as you live. And what happened after that is, when Khaybar was conquered by the Muslims, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now received so much of farms and dates and trees. So he made mashura with the Ansar, and a lot of those trees and farms and gardens were given to the Muhajireen. So in turn, the Muhajireen had to return the trees of the Ansar in Medina Munawwara, because the Muhajireen now received from Khaybar. So in that, Ummu Salim radiallahu anha was receiving, or was getting back her trees that she had given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given them to Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. So he said, no, take back what you had taken from, what you had given Ummu Ayman. But Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha wasn't happy to give it back, and she was upset. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Ummu Ayman, please give it back, and I will give you more. She said, no, I won't give it back. And in that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, how many more you want? I will give you much more. Even 10 times more. For each tree I'll give you 10, but give it back. So then Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha agreed to give it back. But my point of mentioning this is to show how close they were. Not that she was being stubborn, but she had that kind of a relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where she could say what she actually felt. Obviously she had utmost respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but she had a closer relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, respected her for her position, for her age, and also for the fact that Allah used her to make his khidmah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be humorous with Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. On certain occasions, he would actually, like for example, in one hadith, she comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, I need a conveyance. I need, something to ride. meaning she means at that time, and the riding conveyance was the camel. So to say, you come to your son and say you need a car, try and understand it in that situation. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, guaranteed, I'm going to give you one little camel's baby. So she says, O Nabi of Allah, please, I cannot ride on a baby. إِنَّهُ لَا يُطِيقُنِي وَلَا أُرِيدُ. It will never, you know, manage to carry me. You can't see my size. I don't want them. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, I'm going to give you one camel's baby. And he's joking with her. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved to joke with her. But what he meant is that obviously, even though I'm going to give you a rideable, perfect camel, but every camel is the child of another camel. So like that, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very, very humorous with her. Quite a few reports. Another report of mentioned by Ibn Hajar in Isaba. One day Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Mu'iman, pass me that musalla from the masjid. She said, O Nabi of Allah, I am in Hayd, I cannot enter. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's just by the entrance, your Hayd is not in your hands. Inna Haydatak laysat fi yadik. So with humor, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would deal with her. And sometimes she would find it difficult to utter certain words in the Arabic language. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would give her concessions. But with humor and with lightheartedness, he would address her with love and respect. So for example, you know, she would make dua for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So she's telling Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, Salamullahi alaykum. Allah give you al-salamati. Allah give you al-salam. Salamullahi alaykum. But the Allah with the full mouth, she pronounced it Salamullah alaykum. But it means may you not have salam. Because Allah with the full mouth is the correct pronunciation. But if you make it empty mouth, Salamullah, that la means no. So may you not have that peace. So in that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know what, Ummu Ayman, you rather just say As-Salam and we understand it's your dua. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want the word to be pronounced incorrectly, but he didn't hurt her as well. He told her in such a loving, polite tone that she understood. And from there, we can learn, my respected listeners, that we should also learn to pronounce the Arabic words correctly. If our pronunciation is incorrect, we should try and correct our pronunciation. Because sometimes minor mistakes can change meanings. Yes, Allah Ta'ala knows what we mean. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. But yes, we should have the zest and the thirst in our hearts to actually aspire to improve in our deen. Something interesting just to notify about Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, she would join in with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every occasion. Whether it was joyous occasions, whether it was occasions of sadness, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was with. On the occasion of the marriage between Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anha, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha prepared Fatima radiallahu anha for this marriage. So this is how close she was and how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would rely on her and take her as the mother, meaning in the absence of Khadija radiallahu anha. And also one interesting point is Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha in the Meccan period was there to make ghusl of Khadija radiallahu anha. And when Zainab radiallahu anha passed away, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was also, you know, with the Sahabiyat, making ghusl of Zainab radiallahu anha, the daughter of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was because of her closeness with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the occasion of Ifk, where Aisha radiallahu anha was falsely accused and these false allegations were laid against her, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha stood up strongly to defend Aisha radiallahu anha. And she said, Hasha sam'i wa basari an akun alimtu aw dhanantu biha illa khayra. With strong words she stood up before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to defend the blessed wife of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So this is to show us and to teach us how close she was with the entire family of Janabi Rasulullah. As we discussed earlier, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was that human being that lived more with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this worldly life. Towards the latter portion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life in this transitory world, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill and he was in those pangs, and the last salah he had performed, you know, as imam of in the Masjid al-Nabawi with the imamat was Maghrib salah on the Thursday. Ummul Fadl Lubaba radiallahu anha says, I heard Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting in that Maghrib salah, wal mursalati urfa, that surah. And before Isha salah he fell down unconscious, and that was that sad incident. But before that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sahaba and he prepared the army of Sahaba to go to the Roman lands. And who was appointed as Amir of the entire army? It was none other than the son of Ummu Ayman. Who was the son of Ummu Ayman? Usama bin Zayd. And as we discussed earlier, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always appoint Zayd as Amir. But Zayd passed away in the battle of Muta. And now this is the last expedition that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preparing Sahaba and sending them out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and he is very, very ill. Allah's Nabi appoints the son of Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. Who is that? Usama. Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Usama radiallahu anhu was emphatically sent. Umar radiallahu anhu was also part and parcel of that expedition of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But Usama was appointed as the Amir. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's illness intensified. He was ill, but after that Thursday he was so ill, he couldn't even come out. He was in Aisha radiallahu anha's home. Ummu Ayman was worried, so she called her son back, that hold on, do not go further, stay where you are. And they camped at a certain point. In that, Usama radiallahu anhu returns to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeatedly said to Sahaba, Anfidhu jaysha Usama. Emphatically, send out Usama and his men. Send them out in Allah Ta'ala's way. And there was so much of wisdom in that. That's why even when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, the first thing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did was insist that Usama and his men must depart. But as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still ill in his home, Usama comes to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Allah's Nabi looked at me, and then he raised his head to the sky. And he looked back at me, and he raised his head to the sky. I knew Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua for me. This was how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Usama radiallahu anhu, the son of Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Monday morning, left this world before Dhuhr Salah. It was the time of Duha approximately. And then Usama radiallahu anhu and his men came back to perform the janazah. And then they were sent by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they were ushered out in Allah Ta'ala's way. Because this was the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was still living. She was very old. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu were very close. And all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were very close. So they're discussing, let's practice some sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the beautiful sunnah? Among the many, many sunan that Sahaba radiallahu anhu would bring alive, they said, let's go visit Ummu Ayman. Let's go visit the elderly. Let's go visit the sickly. Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful sunnah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit the sickly. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit the elderly. And mind you, just to notify, if there were certain sick people, even if they were non-Muslims, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit them. Allahu Akbar, Allah give us tawfiq. We should often just go to the hospitals. Just go to the hospital, go from ward to ward, and make dua for the sickly. If that person is a Muslim, make dua for them. If that person is a non-Muslim, just stand there by the side of the bed and say, we've come from the masjid. Oh, we also your Muslim, you know, humanitarian brothers. We want to pray for you. And I can assure you, my respected listeners, 99%, they will actually agree and say, please pray for us. Please pray for us. And make dua for them. Make dua for them. Read Surah Fatiha. Ask Allah in English for them. And in that dua, there's da'wat for them. There's so much of khair in this. So many people will ask you and will get closer to Allah Ta'ala's deen, will ask you for the Quran al-Kareem, will ask you to come back for dua, will ask you about Islam. What a beautiful sunnah. What a beautiful practice. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma come and visit Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. And Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha was crying. So they are saying to her that, you know, don't you know what is by Allah is better for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allahu Akbar, the response of this great sahabiyya, Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. She says, I know what is by Allah is better for Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but why I'm crying is wahi has now stopped. وَلَكِنْ أَبْكِي لِخَبَرِ السَّمَاءِ إِنْ قَطَى. Now that information, that connection with the skies has stopped. And when she said this, they realized how wise is what Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha is saying. And they both cried with her. Allahu Akbar. They both cried with her. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, the amazing words of Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, she actually rendered words of poetry, which is of very, very eloquent Arabic. She cried Rasulullah over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, عَيْنُ جُودِي فَإِنَّ بِذَلِكَ للدمع شفاء فأكثري من البكاء حين قال الرسول أمسى فقيدا ميتا كان ذاك كل البلاء وابكيا خير من رزقناه في الدنيا ومن خصه بوحي السماء بدموع غزيرة منك حتى يقضي الله فيك خير القضاء فلقد كان ما علمت وصولا ولقد جاء رحمة بالضياء ولقد كان بعد ذلك نورا وسراجا يضيء في الظلماء طيب العود والضريبة والمعدن والختم خاتم الأنبياء. Interestingly is even though she had a slight stammer in her tongue, as we learn in some reports, but this was miraculous of her that Allah Ta'ala opened her tongue and she praised Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most eloquent of manners. Allahu Akbar. This was one of the karamat of Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha as well. Much more about her beautiful life. Even her offspring was respected by the senior Sahaba. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu sees Hajjaj bin Ayman, the son of Ayman, who is the grandson of Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, long afterwards. And when he sees this little child, he wasn't making salah correctly, so he says, "My little boy, just repeat your salah, make it nicely." Then he asked one of the Sahaba, "Who's that?" They said, "No, this is Hajjaj, the grandson of Ummu Ayman." So he says, "Hey, if Allah's Nabi saw this child, he would have definitely loved him. لو رآه رسول الله لأحبه." So his offspring, her offspring was loved by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. She lived a beautiful life serving Allah Ta'ala's deen. She was also known as Ummu al-Dhiba, which is a very noble title, Ummu al-Dhiba, and the mother of the gazelles. She narrated 5 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sharing with the ummah. And she passed away 5 months after Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And her loss when she left this world was a great loss for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And also her life was a great lesson for every one of us. That who was close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what Allah's Nabi's closeness was not governed by race, nationality or tribe. It was taqwa and the consciousness of Allah and emulating the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq to bring this into our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.